If you will declare with me, I have eyes to see.
I have ears to hear.
And my heart perceives
what you're saying to me.
Amen?
Amen.
We're going to go to a little bit of a trip and just to touch a little bit of what God is trying to prepare us for. Amen? So, predestination. Proverbs 16:4. Predestination. Proverbs 16:4. If you want to start at 1. To man belongs the plans of the heart, but from God comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Now, what is it about predestination that is important for us as a people? Because when our Lord was in the earth, it was predicted that he would be coming. Was there a prediction about you and me? Yes. There was a plan of God. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. Notice foreknowledge. Foreordained plans. In order to kind of put this into a digestible reality, I think you got to get a bigger vision of God. Because if you've got a vision of God like your brain would dictate, it's just not going to work. Okay? And it's not a control thing. It's because he knows all things before it begins. And he knows the decisions you will make, and the grace will be provided for you every step of the way. So it's not of yours and my doing. It's him working through each of his creations. So, verse 28:9, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Verse 30. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. If you take that one to the bank and receipt it to yourself on a daily basis for about 6 months, you might just get a new perspective of who you are in Christ. Because everybody that's trying to clean up their own act are going to discover that they can't do it. And the pride of your religious attitude, trying to make yourself holy, is going to be exposed. I know I should maybe go in the corner for a little while, but
you're turning on.
You see, my job is to pressure you to get a new vision of who you are in Christ. If I can get you to see that God has already instigated his Holy Spirit like the hound, making sure where you go, protecting you, keeping you, holding you close, and making you aware that you can become like Jesus. You see, my religious background said I couldn't even duplicate what other authorities were capable of doing. It had created such a low, picture of myself, a soiled picture of me, which is really totally the opposite of what the blood of Jesus does. When you and I are born again, we are no longer poor sinners. We are now saints under construction. I've tried to really pressure that into you, because when you get a new vision of yourself as a saint, growing and maturing to become like Christ, you're going to have an awareness, oh my God, I'm not a piece of dirt. I'm not just dust that's going to return to dust. How many have Catholic background here? Okay. The very first time that he began to really push my buttons was back in the late 70s, early 80s. It was Ash Wednesday the next day. And I'm not criticizing those who want to go and get ashes. Just do what you got to do. But I know what I had to do. My family is now going to go and get ashes. And the Holy Spirit says, you're staying home. You're not to receive those ashes. Well, how many know there's World War I, there's World War II, and then there's World War III?
There's the family war.
So now I am being reprimanded, corrected, blah, 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 and I mean, I am in doo-doo up to here. I didn't feel the ashes, I felt the manure. So, but I wouldn't go. Well, somebody decided that when they came home, they would share their ashes. And the Lord said, it's okay. Don't panic. I'm in control. It's okay. So, the following year, we got round two. Well, are you coming for ashes? No, I'm not going for ashes. I am not a piece of dirt that's going into the ground. I am a spirit being, born of the Spirit. I am fully alive in Christ, and I'm not going back to that dust stuff. Well, the Scripture says, how many know the Scripture says, dust thou art, and into dust you shall? Is that the real you?
No.
That's just the outer garment. It's not the real me. Ah. So now Romans 8:29 says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Notice it's he justified me. Tap your neighbor and say, get with it.
Get with it.
You're already justified. You don't need to fight your war anymore.
Amen.
See, it's done by him. It's such an easy trip if you start thinking about what he said and then apply it to yourself. It's not just for them. It's not just for me. It's for every single one of us. Amen? So is he stirring things up? Yes. Okay. Ephesians Ephesians 1:4. Be patient with me. I thought I had a marker there, but I guess I forgot that one, huh? Ephesians 1:4. Verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heaven, in the heavenly realms, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him." In whom? In Christ. "Before the creation of the world." Did you hear that? Is your Bible say before the creation of the world? So he made the choice. You were chosen then. To be holy and blameless in his sight, not in your own. Do you ever look at yourself sometimes with a critical eye and say, "Oh my God, what a mess"?
Amen.
Or after a stupid move or a stupid word or some stupid action that came out of this body or out of this mind, and you say, "Oh my God, what a mess." It's his sight that's important. Why does he see you and me completed in the Father and in his Son? Why? Because of what was done on the cross.
Amen.
It's not you and I scrubbing ourselves clean. You know, Ajax is good, but keep it in the sink. Okay? I've seen people scrub themselves to bleeding because they're trying to get rid of the dirt that they perceive they have on themselves. It's not God. They haven't got God's opinion of themselves. What my focus is tonight is to give you an awareness that you were predestined, that you have already received the grace, and you will continue to receive the grace to get you to the finish line until you qualify to go with him.
Amen.
Should he decide to make you like himself in the fullness, like he did Jesus, then that's going to be his press. His press, his doing, not yours or mine. Let's go back. Verse 4, I want to read it again. "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world." Does it say before? Or is that a misprint? "To be holy, blameless, and his sight." Watch the next part. "In love." Why do you think he put "in love" there? Because that's what he is. He is love. You see, if you start loving yourself, what do you think is going to happen to your mental status?
Change.
Just close yourself right now. Close your eyes. Just take for a moment. Say, "Holy Spirit, you gave a vision to Susan today. You gave a vision to Gail. You gave one to a lot of others. I need a vision to see myself as loved and completed in the image of Jesus. Because he already predestined me to be holy, to be precious, and loved in him." Take a couple of deep breaths. He predestined me. Come on. He predestined me to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will.
See, it's not you and me performing to make other people happy. And I'll tell you, when you get off that merry-go-round, it's going to be quite a journey. You're going to be aware of that love that he's poured in you. You're going to be conscious of your predestination, that you will reach the finish line. You're not going to fall apart before the finish line. You're not going to fail with some incredible failure where God will say, I don't think you did a good job this week. So I think we'll cancel your born-again experience.
You're out.
Yeah. He's not going to put me in the corner. You might, but he won't. You know why? Because he loves me. Look at your neighbor. Eyeball to eyeball. Say, I've got a clue. Just for you. He loves you and me. And we're going to continue. In love. And in Christ. That's it. There are a few other scriptures on that, but I think you've got your fill. So share hugs with each other. Don't forget, next Tuesday is the Day of Atonement.